You know, the Mormons have a Book of Mormon, and there's some other people, well-meaning Christians, I'm sure, but they have their own theology and their own way of doing things. The Mormons will tell you that in order for you to understand this book, you got to have the Book of Mormon. Now, this is called the Book of Discipline, but that doesn't mean anything other than we as United Methodists put Scripture first. And it's a guideline on how to operate the church. So you don't need this book in order to study this book, because this is God's Word. But it really helps to understand some of the things in the church and why we do it, and why we call what we call Wesley theology. I want to share with you in Psalm 139, verse 15 verses, New Living Translation of God's holy and precious word. Hear God's word. This is a psalm of David. This psalm is attributed to David. David didn't write all the psalms. He wrote most of them. But this is what it says. O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both provide and precede me, and I follow. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your spirit, and I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and strengthen me and support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me become night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day, and darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. The miracle of life. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in the utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. I'm going to talk about something this morning that relates to that. We call it prevenient grace. But there's a commentary in my Bible about the first 15 verses of the Psalm 139. It says this: a look at the human anatomy gives us just a glimpse of God's creative genius. Who can conceive and design the intricacy of the human body into a very complex and human mind? You talk about computers, we used to say garbage in, garbage out. Same thing happens with the complexity of the human mind. Who could dream of being that would someday like God, yet not being a God? And being who could choose God and walk with Him and live with Him forever? So the next time you wiggle a finger, take a step, have a dream, enjoy a meal, solve a problem, or special in a sentence, or speaking something special in a moment, standing in awe and praise of God for making us so wonderful. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was a young person, like a lot of people, and I was born on October the 28th, 1944, in a place called Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You know, it's over the life and over the period of time, we lose things. I often wonder what happened to all my baseball cards. I had I know I had a baseball card in them years that became valuable today. I have no idea where they are. And how I ever managed to keep my original birth certificate, I don't know how I did that, because it's got my footprints on it. And it's interesting, I cut my toes off with a lawnmower when I was 15. And there I looked at my birth certificate and I said, I had toes at one time. That was pretty cool. But the neatest thing that I still have was my original baptism certificate. And as I look back, God's grace was going before me. That's what we mean by prevenient grace. And there was a special way as we come into this world. And we can have, like, the children. You know, what about the Big Bang? Well, there's several things about baptism. Should you baptize infants? And all kinds of stuff. All we know is that it's an important part to recognize that you're a child of God and that the church is going to be there for you as you grow in grace. So in my life, I strayed off many times. I come back to the Lord, strayed off again, come back to the Lord. But one morning on July the 21st, 6 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of my swimming pool, I've been struggling with this thing called God and whether or not he was real in my life. And, you know, God likes you to come to him and ask questions, and even challenging. And I used to swim in the morning. I had a swimming pool right outside the bedroom door. I jumped in the pool, and when I was under the water, the Spirit of God came upon me in a way that I can't explain. But when I came up out of that water, I remembered my baptism, that cleansingness of the water. And I simply said, Lord, if you're everything that they say you are, then I want you to come into my life and be Lord over it. But we talked about in the recovery programs, one day at a time. I said, but Lord, I can't handle this one day at a time stuff. If you could get it down to 1 second at a time, I think I could do it. And we've been doing it that way ever since. But what does prevenient grace mean? The root word of that in the Greek is called kairos, and it simply means gift. Now, I don't know Greek, I don't speak Greek, but I got a book in there that tells me what all them words mean. Same with Latin. I don't know Latin, can't speak Latin, but I know that Gloria Patri that's in your bulletin means glory to the Father. That gift of salvation is what's there for us. God's grace always going before us. Now, grace has many facets. I never wanted to be a preacher, so to speak, although it's good to be able to proclaim the word and do different things. But I have come to the conclusion that some of the preachers can be trying to convince you against something that just wells up inside of you. So I never want to be that, because my Christian philosophy became, if you convince a person against their will, they'll be of the same opinion still. So my philosophy has always been to share and encourage so that you can make all these decisions on your own. It's an important part, because every one of us has prevenient grace active in our life. So we describe the experience of grace in different words. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace. And it's the nature of grace that comes to us in many ways. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when we ask God to come into our life or ask Jesus to come into our life, we don't get him in pieces. We get him all. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So prevenient grace simply means that God is present with us wherever we go, all the days of our life. And the term prevenient grace comes from a Latin word, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, prenere, something like that. But anyhow, it simply means to come before. In Christian theology and in Wesley theology, grace means that it comes before any human decision or endeavor. Wesley called it the hound of heaven in some of his commentaries. And we look at it as the hound of heaven. Who is the hound of heaven? The Holy Spirit, always wooing us into that love relationship. He is always there. He has gone before us, drawing us. Prevenient grace is a desire of pursuing God and God pursuing us throughout our lives. So the gift of God freeing us so that we might have the opportunity to respond and make that offer of a relationship and put our trust in Jesus Christ. The activity of God in empowering us, giving us spiritual strength. But the biblical message is clear. Human beings are created in the image of God for a relationship with the divine. We're unique. God, there's only one like you. Oh, there might be others that similarly look like you or maybe have a similar personality, but you're unique. You're one of a kind. God created humankind. He created male and female in God's image and likeness, and he declared that it was good. Genesis 1:26. The divine human relationship was deep and meaningful, and it still is today after all these eons of time. You see, like Adam and Eve, each one of us are unique, beloved child of the living God. Because God is love, 1 John 4. Each of us has the capacity to love and to be loved. Because God is spirit, we are created in the image and the likeness of God. Each day we are spiritual beings. We know that Jesus walked this earth in the physical sense. We know that he's not here this morning, even though I have a Jesus doll that just kind of reminds us the presence of God. But Jesus is here this morning because we invite the Holy Spirit to be present. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to be present with us this morning. If Betty can pull that up. Do you have it back there, Betty? There's a little book that I brought with me this morning. Is one of the original hymnals of the United Methodist Church back in 1845. There's no music notes in there. It's just a neat thing. It's got the psalms and different things like that. But that particular book was carried by the early Christians in this country to wherever they had the opportunity, they would worship and they would sit down. What's the number on there? 3-1?
335.
I took my bookmark out. Oh, there it is. Join me if you would as we invite the Holy Spirit this morning. Why do we want the Holy Spirit? Jesus said that I got to go to be with the Father, but I'm going to send one greater than me, the Holy Spirit, who will always teach you of me. That's why we talk about a conscience. It's our spirit gets uneasy sometimes when we're trying to connect with the spirit of the world or different things. The Holy Spirit is always there teaching us. Join me in the invitation to the Holy Spirit. Oh God, the Holy Spirit, come to us and among us. Come as the wind and cleanse us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the dew and refresh. Convict, convert, consecrate many hearts and lives to our good and the greatest glory. And this we ask in Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. You know, it's the Holy Spirit is always with us, always convicting us. And when we know we're doing something wrong, you know, when you become sensitive to Holy Spirit, you don't have to have somebody come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the convicting. Now, he won't push you into doing something different. He wants to be there as someone who loves and to be able to correct. And the neat thing about the Holy Spirit, now the devil, he's out there. He's always active. He can play tricks on your mind, but he cannot read your mind. God knows your mind. He created it. And that's how he communicates with us since Jesus isn't with us in the physical sense. The bad news of human sin is preceded by the good news of the origin of God. Adam and Eve made wrong choices that cost them their place in the garden and brought disorder to all creation. Because God couldn't be in the presence of sin, But God provided. He provided them with clothing when Adam realized, oh, I'm naked, Lord. And God said, who told you you were naked? And that's when they first became aware. So God says, well, I can't be that way. I love you, so I'm going to give you clothing. And of course, we know that he took some animal skins and so forth and made them clothing. But God's love and grace are greater than all the wrong choices that we make. And God continues to offer us a relationship. Not like human relationships when we get divorced and all that kind of stuff. God is offering a relationship all the time. And God desires that relationship with us even more than we want a relationship with God. And Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3 talks about that. The covenant love is the kind of relationship God wants with us. We can find that in Genesis 9 and Genesis 15 and Exodus 19 and 2 Samuel. You see, Jesus revealed to us all the way from Genesis to Revelation. God's Spirit was alive and well. That Jesus offers us a new covenant, a new relationship with God. In Luke 22 and Matthew 28, it's the divine love of God in 1 John. Seeking God's love in Ezekiel. Everlasting love in John 13. But most importantly, the gift of love. You know where you can find that gift in the Bible? First verse I ever memorized. We used to have the opportunity in school. That's how God plants seeds in your life. But they don't do it anymore. We did the Pledge of Allegiance and we did all that. And then somebody in the class had the opportunity to come every day, somebody different, and read a scripture. And I remember, this is the first scripture I ever remembered, and I think that's what stuck with me all that time. Can you say it with me? For God so loved you, gave his only son, that whosoever, that's all, will believe in him, will not perish but have eternal life. Can you imagine if we only had this life to look forward to? That's why I like to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul says, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, if we turn our eyes upon Jesus, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his Son, we have not only hope, but the promise of eternal life. With no more tears, no more sorrow. Being with family and friends and everybody in heaven. How that's going to work, I don't know. I ask Bubba when we get there. But God takes the initiative to seek us. Even though we're not seeking him, he is always seeking us. Prevenient grace helps someone to overcome brokenness and alienation. But how do we experience this thing called God's grace, especially God's prevenient grace? Through the events, both positive and negative. And that's hard. But think about a battery. It's got a lot of power in it. But a battery's no good unless we harness the positive posts and the negative posts. Same with life. We have to harness it. And the Holy Spirit can speak to our minds and our hearts through all the struggles in life, all the difficulties. Unemployment, divorce, loss of a loved one. The Spirit can also speak through music. I love in the morning when I'm studying to come over here to bring you a message of encouragement. We have Dish Satellite, and I'm sure some of the other ones do, but there's a channel on there, 973, that's simply instrumental music. They have instrumental secular music. It's always amazing to me how I can hear a tune and I know the words of that song. It's just amazing. And so I listen to that. And the music sort of just gives you a sense of peace. And it allows us to think and to know the embodiment of Christ in our spirit. So he speaks to us in music. He speaks to us in art. Da Vinci painted a picture of Jesus sold for, I don't know, millions of dollars. I don't remember. You know, and think about that. Art. Witnessing. Somebody long, 500, 600 years ago that had a love relationship with Christ and painted it. So art and the beauty of our surroundings, and this world is just awesome. And sometimes there's a, I think it's on the one of the Christian things, they have it early in the morning. I like to get up early, called Reflections, and they play musical Christian songs and hymns and so forth, and they're just musical, but they show pictures of the Grand Canyon and all just awesome places in all around the world, not only in the United States. So through the care and the sacrifice of others who embody God's love towards us, that's why I like to try to just to encourage people in the faith. I don't ever want to convince them against their will, but I want to encourage them as I've been encouraged. Because God's love towards, for example, comes from our parents, sometimes rocky relationship with parents, and I understand that. Sometimes relatives and friends and different things, but it's God's love that is going before us. But then we got what we call the priesthood of all believers, the body of Christ, the church. The church is not a perfect place. It was never intended to be a perfect place. The church is a place where we can come and be comfortable and be ourselves and to be able to share like we do in prayer time, all our hurts and all our pains, and cry with one another and laugh with one another. The church helps us to experience God's grace through the presence of corporate worship, which is what we're doing this morning. You can do your own worship wherever you are. You can be sitting on a park bench out on the, you can do that, and it's a good thing to do. But corporate worship allows us to come to encourage one another through the sacraments, Holy Communion, baptism, small groups. Ephesians 4, 11 through 19 talks about that. One of these days soon, we keep talking about it, but one of these days soon, we're going to get the men together again. The women have a wonderful group that comes together and encourage one another. They haven't been meeting lately, but Tina and some of the other folks said, we're going to get back in gear because we need that. The Holy Spirit awakens our consciousness by convicting us so that we can never reform ourselves or earn a place in God's family. We can't earn it. It's a free gift. My granddaughter, when I did my little radio program called The Word is the Way to Life, our granddaughter Charlie used to sing, Jesus is your ticket to heaven. And I took that musical part of that particular song and used it for my theme song on the radio. But that thing all ends up with, call on Jesus today. He is your ticket to heaven. Free gift. Free ticket. And then others. God allows us to work through our words, our attitudes, our actions to help others, to open their hearts for this thing that we call prevenient grace, God's love. It's something that sometimes we just take for granted. So I just hope and pray that as we've been doing these series for the last couple of weeks about different theology, Wesleyan theology basically, but all churches are the same when it comes to the Holy Spirit. We don't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit in our particular denomination. But we have a pretty good one. We have a pretty good one that opens up and allows people to come and experience God's grace. And just hope and pray that you did.